Hello and welcome to Talk Spooky to Me, the Ghost Story Guys mail show. I'm Brennan Storr.
I'm Paul Bestall.
And this is our opportunity to hear from you, our listeners. Paul, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I've been catching up with my favourite nefarious criminal and his ongoing trial, as we see, in the Jinx, which was a TV show I adored when it first rolled around back in 2015. It seems like yesterday, and yet it's nearly a decade ago.
Wow, yeah, that does seem alarmingly recent for it to be 9 years. That's not cool, man.
No, I worry about all these albums that I love that I'm suddenly realizing that they're all 40. And then now even TV shows are frightening me by how long ago it seems that I enjoyed them.
I just saw that The Mummy with Brendan Fraser, the first one, is doing a 25th anniversary run. And I was real bummed out, man. Real bummed out. Matrix is 25 this year. Time insists on marching, Paul, and I'm not cool with it.
Wild Wild West, another one of your favorites.
I'm sorry, did they ever make that, Wild Wild West? I didn't think that actually got made. What a great movie it could have been if they had made it. Shame they didn't. Never happened.
I think I've seen 7 minutes of it.
There is a thing that happens on social media, and it's been happening a lot lately, where people, guys our age, will go back and rewatch stuff from the 90s, and because it reminds them of a time when, you know, they could see their feet, they'll say things like, oh, it's actually really good. It was not very well received at the time, but it's actually very good. And to be fair, there are some things that just were not judged very fairly at the time, or just everything is so much worse now that we look back more fondly on it. But having seen Wild Wild West again in fairly recent memory, I can assure you that we remember it exactly as it should be remembered, which is to say barely.
I saw an interesting advert for Extras the other day being filmed in the Peaks.
Oh, yeah.
They're after cyclists, marathon runners, joggers, anybody in peak physical condition for an unnamed Danny Boyle film, though everybody knows it's 28 years later.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I forgot that I didn't realize they were already shooting that.
Yeah. So the advert, oh, that looks interesting. And then I read down, I thought, oh, never mind.
Are you, what are you thinking? Come on. Now you're a slender guy, bald head gleaming in the sun. As for me, I actually got to sit down with Sarah Kent for dinner last night, which was fun. She runs, of course, our Reddit account and has been working with us in various capacities probably for, 5 years, maybe something like that. Yeah, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And but she came on board originally when we had the book club way, way back. And we hadn't seen each other in person since, I want to say, 2021. So it might even have been 2020. So a long time. So it was really good to catch up with her. And she, of course, as I said, she manages our Reddit community, and we're hoping to make use of that a little bit more. So if you are a Reddit user, come give us a follow at r/ghoststoryguyspodcast. And we're going to work real hard to make more of that. Currently, it's just a place where we dump the episode, you know, that we post when a new episode comes out. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to do the same thing we've done with our Facebook page and our Instagram, which is just, you know, take some of that cool shit that we post in those places and share it with you fine folks over on Reddit. And we'll also make a point to, if we talk about a book on the show or a movie, we'll try and make a point to post that over there so you can head over. And again, if you want to look, learn more about one of the books we mention or films we talk about or anything like that, head on over to our Reddit at r/ghoststoryguyspodcast. And if you, like me, don't really know jack shit about Reddit, that's okay, because we have Facebook too.
Yes, it's very daunting.
Reddit. Mm. Yeah, I mostly use Reddit for buying brands of clothing, because there are certain like subreddits where they'll recommend, you know, this brand is better than that brand for gentlemen with wide shoulders and such like this. And pornography. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things I use Reddit for. All right. Well, we are not here to talk about my questionable browsing habits.
Again.
Yeah. Again, still, it's, yeah, well, you know.
It's a work in progress.
Ever, ever in progress. It is always thus. We are instead here to check the mail.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
All right. So, our first message comes from Michael. Michael says, my name is Michael, originally from the northwest side of Chicago. We moved to Elk Grove Village, a suburb of Chicago. This story is from when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I'm now 42. My dad was a contractor working in his bedroom office, and I was in bed. I don't remember what time or day it was. I know it was late. Laying in bed, there came a loud bang, clang, crash of pots, pans, dishes, and silverware hitting the floor in the kitchen. The apartment was smaller in 2 bedrooms. I met my dad in the hallway that connected the apartment. He asked if I was okay and if I heard it. Clearly shaken, I said yes. We peeked around the corner and there was nothing. No dishes, no mess on the floor. We stared in amazement, my dad and I, and then knocked on the other apartments, 6 in all, in the building, and asked if anyone else heard anything. No one. No noise, no mess in their place. Nothing. No accident on the road adjacent to the building. We were the only ones who heard it. Additionally, we would have the doors unlocked after setting the deadbolt and things would go missing. Moreover, I can remember there being banging on my metal closet doors, banging so hard I could see the doors shake in the frame. I know it sounds hard to believe, but no one else heard it. Terrifying for a child, to say the least. I do have other stories about my grandmother's home in Melrose Park if you all are interested. Thanks, guys. Big fan, as well as my son. We listen all the time. Well, thank you, Michael. That's very cool, and hello to Michael's son.
Hello.
I remember that happening here once in the apartment in Victoria. You know, we heard this crashing sound from the kitchen, and we ran in there, and nothing. Never did figure out what it was. If it was upstairs, no idea.
Classic poltergeist phenomena, especially if it perhaps may have even started rearranging the cutlery.
You know, it says here it was some of the things that go missing, but it sounded like cutlery, but the cutlery didn't actually go missing. So it's like a terrifying clattering sound, but no accompanying like chaos.
Perhaps it was just one that didn't like the door locked.
It could be. It's like the spiritual equivalent of a cat.
Maybe it was a cat.
Could be that as well. I know now that I'm in Victoria at the moment, my cats, if they're like yours actually. If they're in the office, they want to be out of the office. If they're out of the office, they want to know damn well what's happening in there. And then when they see it, they're very bored with the answer. I think one of the funniest things has been that Chewy, our female cat, she does this thing that she will, if Nick and I are sitting together on the couch, she will jump up and insert herself between us. And if I put a pillow down to like lay next to Nick, she is straight in there laying on that pillow. This is not happening. And then if I pet her when she's doing that, she'll look at Nick like, see, I win. Don't do that, cat. Be cool, man. Be cool.
Theo doesn't like it. If we're having a hug, he wants to get involved. He like jumps up and stands up on his back legs and wants us to hug him as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
Silly sod. Our next message is from Penny, who says, "Hi, Brennan and Paul. I just listened to episode 187, This Haunted Life. I live very close to Lewes, just like the town in England. The pronunciation is a source of confusion for newcomers who don't understand it's the UK English pronunciation. The ghost stories Megan told about her grandfather's home in Lewes made me curious about which house it was in downtown. I've had people tell me I must be mistaken on how Lewes is pronounced, and I always respond, well, if you want to get laughed at, keep pronouncing it your way. Paul was correct, of course, about the English taking the town away from the Dutch, who had named the area Zwanderland, Zwanerdale, which means Swan Valley, although I'm not sure why. There may have been swans here, but there's certainly no valley. I'm sure there are locals who remember Megan's grandfather's B&B, and I'll have to ask some of my friends who are locals from way back if they know which house it is. President Biden, who is from Delaware, has a second home in nearby Rehoboth Beach. Lastly, it's interesting that Paul would move to Portugal if he ever won the lottery. Americans who are considering retiring outside of the US frequently consider Portugal, calling it the Delaware of Europe because the cost of living is so low. Delaware has a large retiree population because it's cheaper to live here than the surrounding mid-Atlantic states. If either of you make it to this area, please reach out. Our home is large enough to accommodate guests. Thanks, guys. I enjoy the show, especially the banter. P.S. The Lewes town slogan is, the first town in the first state, because the delegate from the state to the Continental Congress was the first to sign the Constitution. And what a mistake that was for them.
Well, they got mini malls out of it. It doesn't seem like it's all bad news. I did not realize at all that it was Lewes. I heard you pronounce it like that, and I thought, oh, maybe he's talking about somewhere else, or he's talking about like the place in England. I had no idea. We had a couple people correct us on the pronunciation there. So thank you to everyone who reached out and corrected my goofy ass on that one.
What you've got to remember is the English pronunciation of anything is correct. Because we invented words.
You know, I don't even know where to start with that. I mean, I'm married to an English woman, and I've been hearing that for the last 2 weeks since I've been back here. So, I mean, yes. Yes, dear. Yeah, facts. That's what you say. Not just the English language. Words.
Words. All words came from us.
So we have you. I have you to blame for the thoughts in my head. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Penny. I love that Portugal is the Delaware of Europe. So if Portugal doesn't work out, just move to Delaware, Paul.
Yeah. Does Delaware get very hot in the summer?
I know nothing about Delaware.
I know President Biden's from there.
I know that now, thanks to Penny.
There's a town called Lewis there.
I think there's a place called Wilmington. Maybe Farmington? Is Farmington from there? Farmington, Delaware. Yeah, it is too. Ooh. That's three Delaware towns I know. Look at me. I'm practically the mayor.
There's probably a Springfield there.
Let's find out. Springfield. This is a kind of high-octane content you come to us for. Springfield? Nope. No Springfield, Delaware. You blew it.
That's disappointing. There's 19 and one of them doesn't happen to be in Delaware. It's not good enough.
There's a township in Delaware County in Pennsylvania called Springfield.
Good.
We'll say you got there on points.
And that's what I must have been thinking of, yes.
Yes, there we go. Yeah. Paul, technical knockout, Bestel. All right, next up is from Brooks. Brooks says, "Hey, Bran, I was listening to the Mysteries in the Mist episode, and you made a comment about how this one person could sleep at all with the lights and TV on. The only way I can sleep is with a lamp and TV running. Last time I slept in complete darkness and silence was when I was visiting my girlfriend, and that night was the worst sleep I ever had, with night terrors nonstop. The same dream of people breaking in. When I was awake, I could still hear them walking around and whispering in the apartment. It was all night long. I got like 2 hours of sleep at the most." That's rough, Brooks. Goddamn.
Clearly somebody who didn't watch Poltergeist as a child then.
Well, I don't think they leave it on the white noise. I got to say, Brooks, if you leave your TV on white noise, don't worry about being haunted because they will be scared of you. I cannot imagine sleeping with white noise. Like I sometimes sleep with like a fan on or the TV going, but the notion of leaving with just like the white noise on the TV, no, I could not do that.
I like my sleeping area to be as dark as possible.
Yeah, I have to do the dark. I can't, I mean, I guess I can fall asleep with the light on, but it just feels like it's like you're always fighting back against it.
Yeah. I like to be as dark as I would be if I was asleep in a coffin.
It's very specific, but I understand.
Listening to weird podcasts.
For me, it's horror movies. I've been finally watching the Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just about finished, but I always start it late at night. And so I'll fall asleep and then I wake up to a jump scare, someone screaming, some kind of terrible rotted corpse stalking the living. It's, yeah, not exactly restful, but it works.
How have you found it?
Oh, I think it's great. Yeah, I really think it's great. I'm on the last episode now. I think the standout for me has been Carla Gugino.
Yeah, she's brilliant in it.
Oh, she's so good. I'm just at the part now in the last episode where she's kind of doing her monologue to Mark Hamill's character.
Yeah.
And just great. Actually, no, sorry. I passed that point. I'm at the point where she just finished speaking to Usher's granddaughter.
Mm.
And that was great because she's been very kind of foreboding for the rest of the season. But then when she's speaking to her, it was really emotional. And she just turns it on a dime. It was very impressive.
Yeah. I was chuffed to bits with it.
Yeah. No, it was great.
So, have you watched Train to Busan yet?
No, I know. I'm terrible. I got to do that. I keep thinking, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then time just keeps passing.
Don't let this become another Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah. Is that a movie? What is that? Is that? I got to watch that. I know I joked about Spite not watching that one, but I'm kind of Spite not watching that one. I don't know why. I'm only hurting myself, but this is the kind of petty moron I am. It's streaming for free here on Stars. I can get a free trial. Anyways, no one cares about this, but I will watch. But I tell you what, by the next time we talk, I will probably have watched one of the two. I will commit to probably end one of the two.
Okay. When you finish watching Busan, you just need to take a bit of time afterwards.
That again, I think that is the thing that keeps delaying me. I have to feel feelings, Paul. I have enough of those anyways. Boo.
Moving on. From Logan. Hey, Brennan and Paul. Just dropping in mid-listening to the Haunted Life episode part one to give you a take that would give you a chuckle. I own an acre of property, and apparently I wasn't keeping up the lawn nearest the road well enough for my neighbour's standard. I live at the end of a dead-end road in rural Pennsylvania. I came home one day to about 10 feet of my property scalped down to dirt. It upset me because I was trying to grow moss beneath the trees as grass wasn't taking and it was pretty bare. Needless to say, it's been about 2.5 years since I've even touched my property up that way. I keep the rest around the house mowed, and the garden, and tidy up everything else. But my property nearest the road, that the neighbours see every day, will remain uncut and wild. Spite is delicious.
It truly is, Logan. I admire the shit out of that.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes it's the little wins.
That's it. That's it. When I was a kid, I had this neighbor across the street. Her name was Amelia. She was elderly. And she was the original narc. Like, if you told me she was reporting to Daryl Gates, I would believe you. She would watch everything we did like a hawk. And if we did anything she thought was even slightly dodgy, and I cannot overemphasize how lame I was as a child. You know, I was the most harmless kid out there. I was the baby Tylenol of human beings. And if I farted too loudly, she would call my grandmother and tell her, and then I would hear about it. And so I grew up with this very intense sort of desire to stay the hell away from my neighbors.
Yeah, we had a family of idiots that I grew up next to. They were the kind of family that seemed to just beat the shit out of each other 7 days a week.
Oh.
And you would always hear people falling down the stairs and shouting. And it was hilarious because they were just like obnoxiously noisy all the time, right? And then as soon as I became a teenager and didn't give a shit and would have friends around and play music and say, oh, they were banging on the door. Oh, it's ridiculous, this noise.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yep. Yeah. This next one is from Anonymous. And this is the same anonymous contributor who sent us the story for our Haunting in the Military Part 2 episode, the story entitled The Man in the Chair. Anonymous says, Hi, I'm the author experiencer of The Man in the Chair story, The Foot in Afghanistan That Wouldn't Burn. I'm just writing to let you, Brennan, and Paul know that I heard the latest episode where Liam wrote in with a response, and it makes perfect sense. I appreciate them not saving it for a Patreon episode. I am too poor. That's fair. We wouldn't do that to you. I've done a lot of research about jinns since I had the experience, and the Bedouin people of North Africa wear iron and put iron pins and jewelry on their children to protect from jinn. So what Liam said was proper spot on, and definitely made me slap my head and say, of course. Thanks to Liam, Bren, Paul, and you. Also, it was especially cool coming from a fellow U.S. service person, USMC, who likely knows what I went through, especially an EOD guy, in context with the story as a whole. Meant a lot in a weird way. And sharing the story on the show actually helped me reflect on a lot of shit I went through. Hearing my experience told out loud by Brennan Paul. Appreciate you all. We appreciate you, Anonymous. That story really, I think that was a, I feel like that story was a sort of a turning point for the show in a lot of ways. That felt like a really important story to tell. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm intrigued by that. If I'd have been able to get to speak to the Bedouin people when I was in North Africa, I would have appreciated it, but they seem to have the world's most ferocious dogs with them.
Really?
Yes, well, we were driving past at 70 miles an hour in a four-wheel drive on our way to the Star Wars set that's still in the Tunisian desert.
Right.
And as we were riding through the desert, we saw a Bedouin camp. And we were probably, I don't know, about 300 yards going around it, out, obviously not causing too much kerfuffle. And these two dogs saw us and just went mental and chased after us. Fangs bared, snarling, snapping. Proper, like, running full pelt afterwards.
Holy Christ.
But, yeah, if you've never gone flying through the air off a sand dune in the Tunisian desert, fearing for your very life and soul, have you ever lived?
Apparently not.
No.
I'm missing out from the sound of it.
Yeah, it's one of those experiences I wasn't expecting, but it happened, and we move on.
Okay. So now, was that an intentional part of the experience, or this was just an outgrowth of being chased by wild dogs?
No, I believe that was much after that. Yes, it was very exciting. I've never gone flying off the top of a sand dune at high speed in a 4x4 before.
Interesting. So that's just a part of the thing they do.
Yeah, it was like a 40-minute ride out there.
Oh, okay.
To the set. So I was hanging around like Luke's home when he was growing up.
Right, right, right. Very cool.
When Star Wars films were good.
We promise, kids, there was a time.
In a galaxy far, far away. I'm here all night.
Oh. We are going to take a quick break for some ads, but we'll be right back. Welcome back. I have changed my shirt. Paul, I was wearing one of my Halloween-themed Hawaiian shirts, and the entire recording, all I could think was, I hate how this feels on my skin.
Yeah, so I'm happy in my comfortable Bigfoot t-shirt.
I like it. I like that shirt.
Believe.
Believe. I believe in Sasquatch Sunset.
And I believe in Exists.
Honestly, I if I had to pick one of those movies to watch again, it would be Exists. I mean, Sasquatch Sunset, I'll say, it seems like they had a vision. I respect that. I don't know that it was a vision I needed to see, but I blame Brandon because he texted me and said, well, I don't know what to say about it, but I think it was something I needed to see at the very least. And I guess someone walked out immediately after the Sasquatch sex scene finished. And then we had someone else walked out about minute 23. Then I fell asleep for a little while. And I woke up and someone died. I kind of felt a certain way about that. That was kind of a bummer. Then I fell asleep again. And the movie was over. So I guess I should be, in fairness, I didn't even really see all of Sasquatch Sunset. Well, parts of me did. My body was present for it, but the mind was not.
Sometimes that's the best way to watch a film.
You are not wrong. Actually, coincidentally, one of the themes of Sasquatch Sunset is this idea that as we sort of progress into the natural world, you know, industrialization takes more and more of it away. And it harms animals. It's sort of a loss of innocence thing. And we were given a film to review called Max Beyond, which is a 3D animated film, which is a prequel to an upcoming video game. And we were supposed to review it a while back, and we didn't get around to it. Really, because I didn't love it, and I didn't really want to review something that I didn't love. But since we're talking about Sasquatch Sunset, I will mention Max Beyond, because it is a science fiction film about a little boy, Max, who's subject to human experimentation, and he's saved by his adoptive brother, Leon. And the film kind of follows in that trend that's happening right now, where it's got a lot of multiverse stuff going on. And it's not terrible, it's just, it's a little slow. The characters were not deeply involving, and the look of the film is a little simple. It kind of reminded me of that show Reboot, which I don't think you guys got in the UK. But it's not terrible. If you're looking for a sci-fi for younger people, I would say people in their early teens, you could do worse than Max Beyond, but it doesn't really stand up there with some of the other stuff we've talked about in the show, like Restore Point or Late Night with the Devil. But again, that's Max Beyond, and that should be available in the UK now.
April writes, I recently found a YouTube channel called Wartime Stories with some interesting paranormal tales. Some familiar, but some I'd never heard of, like the giants on the Solomon Islands that attacked Japanese soldiers during World War II.
Interesting. Now, had you heard these stories, Paul?
The Battle of Guadalcanal.
And that's where the giants were said to have been?
Yes, there was apparently... it's one of those stories that's a bit misty to trace, shall we say. But apparently, in this particular area, as most of the Pacific was a tapestry for the Second World War between the Americans and the Japanese as they fought their way across the Pacific, as they chased them back to Japan. Obviously, most parts of the Pacific were sadly touched by the conflict, and the beautiful and unique Solomon Islands were unfortunately part of that as well. So this story is essentially, there was an extremely bloody battle on the Solomon Islands. Most battles in the Pacific were extremely bloody. And so Solomon Islands is no different to most islands that were bloodstained throughout that period. And apparently, during this particular conflict, the giants seemed to take a deep dislike to the Japanese over the Americans and ripped them to pieces and ate them.
But it is questionable as to where the story originates.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's one of them. It's kind of appeared over the last 10 or 15 years online. Is it one of those stories that's basically, I mean, there are stories of giants on the Solomon Islands. I think they're called the Mau Mau or something. I'm not overly familiar with a lot of Pacific cryptids, sadly, because we don't seem to hear a lot about them. I know of some, obviously, but some are more famous than others. And this seems to be one of those guys where we don't know much about it, but they do have a history, and they've got a story which is very similar to a lot of other areas with hairy creatures that live there, where you've got a local tribal chief's daughter, I think it is, who's kidnapped by them, disappears for 25 years, and then she reappears pregnant and gives birth to a half-man, half-ape-type creature that is eventually killed, and she goes mad and has to be locked away for her own safety, which is a story which I think you would find very similarly in places like Native Australian law, Native American First Nation law. There's certainly stories of that in China and certainly with the Almasti in Russia as well. I'm not too sure about anything like that with Yetis, but yeah, so it's got a lot of traditions that seem to mirror other places with a history of this. But as to the origin story of this particular legend, I'm not sure where it came from. And, of course, the Solomon Islands are also famous because they've got a very strange genetic disorder there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of the locals have blonde hair, like bright blonde hair.
Okay, and so this is not a hereditary thing. This is a condition.
It's a chromosome gene thing, apparently. So they're all very dark-skinned, as you would imagine, for living on a Pacific tropical paradise, as the Solomon Islands is. But quite a number of the population have these beautiful white hairs.
Interesting.
They are quite stunning. They look as though they must have been dyed. They're that brightly white.
Huh. And this isn't like, there's no sort of common ancestor, you know?
I'm not sure. As far as when I saw something about it a few years ago, the general thing was it was just a genetic, it was a wandering chromosome.
I'll be damned.
They're just changing. But if you see the images, they are very striking. They look amazing. They look phenomenal. But it's just one of those weird genetic kinks that pops up in some places of the globe.
That is fascinating. I had a quick look while we were chatting, and it was the Orang Mawas of Malaysia and the Orang Gadang of Indonesia.
Yeah, the Orang Gadang is very similar to the Orang Pendek.
I was going to ask where the Orang Pendek fits in, because I know I've heard you talking to... who was it just did the hunt?
Richard Freeman.
Richard Freeman, yeah, I'm talking about the Orang Pendek, but I couldn't remember where it was, if it was Sumatra or if it was somewhere else.
Yeah. Orang Pendek is Sumatra. It's a similar but different creature.
Oh, okay. So what differentiates, or I guess, can you explain to the audience a little bit about what we're talking about?
Well, the Orang Pendek is a hairy creature that is supposed to live in the forests of Sumatra, and there have been fleeting glimpses, numerous witness sightings. A world-renowned biologist saw one, stood in the middle of a track and said, "That it completely changed my life.
Oh.
I know they exist. I know they're real. It's blown my mind. I just thought it was fantasy and folklore, but they're not. They're real." And so she's been one of the biggest spokespersons for the existence of the Orang Pendek. And the modern theory is that they are an undiscovered relative of the orangutan, because they're quite similar. They've got red hair, but they can walk upright. Whereas obviously if you've seen an orangutan, it's obviously very top heavy and has to use its knuckles to get around a bit. I mean, they are quite swift. And whilst they're known for being quite docile, as most great apes can, they probably rip your arm out of your socket without thinking about it.
But they're quite small though, aren't they? Orangutans? Like vertically?
Only because they spend a lot of time hunched, but they're big.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
So on average, they're around 5 foot, but there have been members of the family that have been between 5 and 6 feet.
Oh, that's still bigger than I expected.
7 times stronger than a human.
7 times. Good Lord.
Most Pacific islands have stories of similar creatures to the Orang Pendek and obviously, the difference to the Indonesian and Malaysian ones is that they're taller, because the Orang Pendek is around the same size as a standard orangutan, but it's essentially classed as a hairy human.
Right.
Not an orangutan or member of the ape family.
Oh, okay.
And they have weapons.
And they use weapons?
Yeah, like clubs and stuff.
Oh.
But then again, we've only recently seen apes using tools. So do all apes have the ability to, you know, tool? I mean, orangutans are a prime example. They use spears to fish.
I didn't know that.
Bamboo canes to fish.
Yikes.
Stab fish with. But chimps and gorillas have been seen creating tools to do stuff. So, yeah.
I always get a little bit weirded out when you read those accounts of monkeys or apes doing raids in villages. You know, they'll organize themselves and do food raids and things like that. I think, oh boy, yikes.
Yeah, or the karate ones that run around in India just fly kicking people.
You know, that's one of those things that's funny when it's not happening to you. We had, one of our early successful video posts to Instagram. It must have been India. There was a monkey it did a flying kick to someone's ass and then buggered off out of there.
Yeah, in the alley. Yeah, it's a classic monkey kung fu kick.
Well, if nothing else, Paul, I'm happy we live in a world where there's such a thing as a classic monkey kung fu kick. Next up is from Yana. Yana says, my eldest is 19 and is self-publishing a horror comic. Arden graduated from the animation concept art program at Vancouver Film School last October, and job prospects aren't great at the moment. He's now busy working on this comic and attending the Vancouver Comic Fest in May. I wanted to share this link as I know you appreciate indie artists and it's horror, so thank you for your consideration. Yana includes a link, which we will post in the Reddit, since we are talking about Reddit things on this episode. And yeah, check it out. The comic is called Cold Hard Teeth by Arden Wachowski. And yeah, we'll put a link in Reddit. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but based on the art I'm seeing on the splash page, it looks great. So Arden, keep going. Making a living as an artist is a hard road to hoe, but it is absolutely possible. Everyone will tell you can't make a living from the arts, and it's difficult, but it's not impossible. But just keep going. And don't be ashamed of taking on side work if you need to pay your bills. Don't think, you know, if I don't work 100% as an artist, I failed as an artist. That's not true. You can absolutely keep doing other things. And as long as you're making your art, you're still an artist. And you're always, you know, keep that goal in mind. But sometimes you got to do other shit to pay the bills. You would actually be shocked by the number of artists and filmmakers who you probably have heard of who had to keep making or doing side work for a lot longer than you would expect in order to pay their bills.
Absolutely. Keep at it, because you never know when that lucky break may come.
That's it. That's it. Just keep creating. Keep creating for the love of it, and everything else will come.
Like lightning in a bottle.
Exactly. That's how I ended up doing this full time. I mean, every now and again, I've had to pick up other work. Like, you know, I was doing food delivery again for a while at the end of last year. Did an audiobook. I'm hoping to do more audiobooks. You know, and it doesn't make you any less of an artist. Like I said, it's a hard way to make a living, but it's a gratifying way. And I'll tell you what, man, if you're an artist, it's a hard thing to be anything but. You can deny it as long as you want. I did for a long time. Thought, no, that's not me. It's not who I am. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to be an office manager. I'm going to be a this, be a that. And it just, the longer you deny it, the only thing that accomplishes is that you miss out on time to hone your craft, because the desire to do it never really goes away. I mean, our own young Paul Bestel here is a further great example of this. He's exactly the same. It's his art is, well, I mean, you've heard Mysteries and Monsters, I assume, and he raises paranormal knowledge to an art form, and he was not able to deny himself this. And that once he gave in, he has become the great man you saw, that I see before me and that you hear every week on the show.
Oh, checks in the post.
It's good. I got bills to pay.
Our next message is from Sue, who writes regarding Talk Spooky the Dog Whisperers. My favourite getting it on at work story. In the early 90s, I was a computer consultant for a government agency in Illinois. Just before I started, another consultant was booted out for getting it on with an employee in the stairwell. On the security camera. Management found out because of the noise from the security guards as they watched the whole thing. He argued he shouldn't be booted for it because he was officially on a break at the time. His code was crap too. I had to rewrite a lot of it when I got there. Well, who hasn't had sex at work?
Well, half of this call.
Oh, that's odd. If he's on a break, I suppose he thought he had a point, but he hasn't.
No, don't do it on security cameras. Don't. No.
Like a really bad 90s Madonna erotic thriller, isn't it?
Yeah, or that movie Sliver with Sharon Stone and the Lester Baldwin. I think it's one of the Lester Baldwins in that one.
Probably.
Nick and I, of course, we've been watching all these 90s. Actually, yeah, this is you'll appreciate this. So we've been watching, we have this thing where we'll sit down and we'll just like watch two or three kind of middling, sometimes great, sometimes quite awful 90s thrillers on Tubi or other streaming services. And so recently we watched a really good one called Mute Witness from 94, which was shot in Moscow. Mm. But then we watched two in a row starring Martin Kemp from, is it Spandau Ballet?
Spandau Ballet, yes.
So apparently he did a thing in the 90s where he was just in a bunch of sleazy direct-to-video thriller movies.
Yes, because him and his brother Gary were famously cast as the Krays at the beginning of the 90s, and that's what started their film career. Gary gave it up, and Martin carried on for a bit and continues to this day to act. He was in EastEnders for years.
Was he?
Yeah, and he's done lots of other stuff. He's popped up in most well-known British dramas at some point or other over the years.
Okay, well, I mean, I saw a picture of him, like a recent picture of him. He looks great.
Yeah, he's done very well. He nearly died a few years ago.
Oh, really? What happened?
He had a massive aneurysm, I think.
Oh, shit, because he had a tumor in the 90s, didn't he?
Might have been a tumor. It was either a tumor or an aneurysm. But yeah, he basically had to learn to speak again.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, one of the most successful marriages in British pop music as well.
Well, they would have to be strong together, because the number of women crawling all over him in those 90s movies was impressive.
Well, Shirley from Pepsi and Shirley and Wham takes no prisoners. Didn't work for George Michael for 5 years and not be tough.
That's fair. Well, I mentioned it because I knew who Spandau Ballet was. I didn't realize he was in Spandau Ballet. After Nick explained this to me, I thought, well, I did not think this week that I was ever going to see this much of Martin Kemp's ass.
So apparently, a friend of mine, he's a lovely chap, Phil, and his lovely wife, Sarah, and their son, passed on a message to my brother that we've got to say hello to Adam and Vic, who apparently love listening to us. So hello, Adam and Vic.
Yes, indeed. Hello to Adam and Vic.
Yes.
How does Dean feel about being now known as Paul Bestel's brother?
It's a burden he's had to live with all of his life. It's just now on an international level.
Ah, I love it. Makes me happy. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Thank you to everyone who wrote in. There were a few people we'd meant to get to when we ran long, but we will try to get to you on the next episode of Talk Spooky to Me. And if you want to send us a message, ghoststoryguys@gmail.com is the best place to send it. But you can also get us by leaving comments on Spotify, Instagram, YouTube, all those places. We tend to pull from lots of different spots. But again, thank you to everyone who wrote in. Paul, my friend, where can everyone find you online?
You can find me and Mysteries and Monsters across all social media networks and across all podcast sites.
Fabulous. I'm Largely the Truth on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and Letterboxd. You can find my other show, Weird Together, where Joseph Camo and I talk about the sociology behind the latest and greatest in independent horror films on podcast platforms everywhere. Again, that's Weird Together. We always like to end Talk Spooky with a tune, and this episode is no exception. On this episode, we're going to be sharing the latest track from Rainy Days for Ghosts. That song is Mirrors, which should be on music streaming platforms everywhere by the time you hear this. It should at least be on Spotify. Rainy Days for Ghosts, of course, our house composer here at Ghost Story Guys, but has done lots of other work. Rainy Days for Ghosts is a project of Harper Smith. Harper has done compositions for a number of short films, feature films as well. Very talented composer. Make sure to check out Harper's work at rainydaysforghosts.bandcamp.com or by searching for Rainy Days for Ghosts and Street Witch everywhere you stream your music. Thanks as always for joining us, folks. We will see you next week for episode 188. And until then, we will leave you with Rainy Days for Ghosts and Mirrors.